Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Check out our new online census project, 10 Questions That Count. We have a census quiz up there. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and take our first 2010 census quiz. We also have funny census videos. You can add your household's portrait to our 10 questions photo gallery and nominate an 11th question. What one additional question would you ask all Americans? We'll talk about some of your 11th questions on the air. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show for our 10 Questions That Count Census Project website, and we'll do a census of Irish New York for St. Patrick's Day in just a few minutes after we check in with Congressman Weiner. You know, an internal House of Representatives email, as reprinted today on Politico, says, circuits near capacity. Due to the high volume of external calls, house telephone circuits are near capacity, resulting in outside callers occasionally getting busy signals. And we know why those lines are busy. Americans are flooding their representatives, and especially those considered swing votes, to express their views on the health reform endgame. Some of them are echoing the sentiment of this political commercial featuring Arianna Huffington regarding a public option.
We have 41 Democrats who've said they'll vote for it.
Obviously, I want the public option.
Those who want to make sure we have no public option, I don't think that's going to happen.
So how about it, Speaker Nancy Pelosi?
We're talking about something that is not going to be part of the legislation. So why don't we talk about what is going to happen? Because I'm quite sad that a public option isn't in there. It isn't in there because they don't have the votes to have it in there, or they would have had it in there to begin with.
With us now, one of the strongest proponents in all of Congress of a public option over the last year, Brooklyn and Queens Congressman Anthony Weiner. Hi, Congressman. Thanks for continuing to talk health reform with us.
It's my pleasure. Since our circuits are all busy, I figured I'd call out to New York City instead. I appreciate you having me on.
That was smart. Are you in the group pushing to revive the public option or the group calling it unrealistic?
Well, I'm in the group trying to revive it. You know, the problem that we have here is the House of Representatives has passed it. The President of the United States said repeatedly that he supports it. But the Senate is kind of playing a little bit of a game here. We're circulating letters saying that they want it but don't want to put it to a vote. I think that what should happen is the Senate should put this on a vote, even if it means amending the reconciliation bill we send them. Because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, who shot JR? We should find out if the public option, which is popular with the public, saves money, increases choice and competition. If it does wind up dying here on the operating room table, we should at least know that we did everything possible to save it.
And I guess the math is, and we have such short memories about these things, but it was just December when the Senate leadership seemed to trade away the public option, specifically to get Joe Lieberman to yes as the 60th vote. But now with the plan to use reconciliation, it's a 51-vote era. So presumably it's mathematically possible. But even that Arianna Huffington spot said there are 41 Democrats committed to yes for public option. That's going to be tough, isn't it, to get another 10 to yes? Is that really where it's worth spending the political capital now?
Well, a couple of organizations have aggregated the public comments of all of the senators and come up with a higher number. Tom Harkin, for example, said that he thinks there are 55 votes in the Senate. You know, this is one of the things, considering how much discussion we've had about the public option over the course of the last year, it's quite remarkable that the Senate as a body hasn't gone on record on it. And I think Nancy Pelosi's exasperation is well-founded in that she is hearing every single day from her Senate colleagues, please don't push this issue onto us. Yet we still want to somehow get give the impression that many of us support it. Even Dick Durbin, who's the whip of the Senate, said that he would whip for the votes on it if he were called upon to do it. Well, I think that it's perfectly reasonable to ask the Senate to take this up.
You heard about Congressman Kucinich, he's going to vote yes at the end of the day, a reaction?
It's not a surprise to me. I think that anyone who it's almost indisputable that if you take the Senate bill and fix it with reconciliation the way we're going to do it, it far improves upon the status quo. It's not everything Dennis or I would have liked. We both started from a position of preferring a single-payer system and expansion of Medicare to cover all Americans. But, you know, unless you believe that every bill should be perfect and exactly what you want, you would have to vote for yes on this one.
Are you a definite yes?
I am, well, definite. You can't be definite with caveats, so let me just tell you my caveats. One is that we actually have to see the text of the bill, and that'll probably be true by the end of the day. The Senate bill was not written with poor people in mind, and we have a lot of poor people in New York City. The Medicaid reimbursement rates are too low, for example. So I've received assurances, and so has the New York delegation, but that's going to be fixed in the reconciliation language. I'm eager to see it to make sure that that's the case. The second caveat is, you know, the Congressional Budget Office is going to come back with a score. I assume they're going to say what we know they'll say, which is these changes that we're making the law save people money, save taxpayers money. And the third thing that I need, and this is a tough one, I need to understand and be assured that the Senate, if we pass their version of the bill, is going to pass some version of fixes to the bill, the reconciliation package that we've heard so much about. The Senate bill is a standalone bill. Is not a sufficient improvement on the status quo, and I would reject it. So that's why it's important that these things be rejected. So we need the child of some senator that we can hold hostage to make sure that this actually gets done.
So you're for this idea of deeming the Senate version passed without actually voting on it before you vote on the changes to the Senate bill that would be added to the final reconciled version?
You know, this is another one of these places that the conversation about the process has kind of gotten a little bit away from us. I mean, look, one way or another, you need to link these two bills together, the Senate bill and the improvements to the Senate bill. So what we're essentially doing is we're going to vote for one, assuming the other, you know, essentially link them in this maneuver. But it's going to be an up or down vote, no matter how you interpret it. So I think people who have said, oh, this is an outrageous abuse or some bizarre process, we're in the situation where we have to link two bills together. So doing it this way, I mean, we haven't made a final decision how we're going to do it, but this is one of the options. To me, I don't really see what the controversy is. One way or another, if people vote yes, it means they're in favor of the Senate bill with reconciliation. If you vote no, you're against it. Well, that's the end of the story.
Well, the Republicans, as you know, are making a big stink about Democrats not being willing to go on the record for these historic reforms, only for the collection of changes that are different from the Senate bill. That leaves a lot of the things that you wouldn't technically ever be voting for. But I don't get it. For a Congress member who takes a tough yes vote in a couple of days on the reconciliation version, he or she is going to go to their constituents and say, yeah, but I didn't vote for the Senate bill. Like, that's going to matter to how they're perceived?
Of course. That's why I think that we're drilling into the procedure here, and I think the critique of the procedure is a little bit overblown. Believe me, that voting on this, however you're going to construct it, is going to be, are you in favor of the Senate bill with reconciliation? That's the question, and that's what we're all going to have to go sell. That's the final health care package. The one benefit of this is we're finally going to have what we've lacked throughout this entire process, which is one bill. It's this improved Senate bill is going to be the one bill that we're going to be considering. And believe me, you know, when I vote yes on it, constituents are going to understand that. And if someone votes no on it, it's going to be very clear.
But,
so
but
I think this
think
is much ado
you,
about
you,
nothing.
You think your ado about something because the Democrats aren't willing to take a vote on the Senate bill first before the reconciliation changes. So you think, since you're one of those people, I guess, who doesn't want to vote for the Senate bill. Do you think you would be perceived differently by your voters if you vote to deem and then to reconcile than if you vote yes on the Senate bill and then to change the Senate bill?
The fact of the matter is that the Senate bill plus reconciliation is what we're going to pass into law. Whether we do that with the word deem or the word pass, I don't believe it's technically all that different.
So
why risk a
constitutional law challenge that's going to come in court?
No, I don't believe we're not going to have that. This is not that unusual a process. We need to find some way to link these two bills as inextricably as we possibly can. Okay, and one of the ways to do it is this way. And I am not wedded to the to the process, because frankly, I believe that you're right in that at the end of the day, we're trying to do the same thing, which is to try to make sure that these two bills have no space between them. The Senate bill without reconciliation is deeply unsatisfactory to many of us. And so that's why this process is being pursued.
Let me get to a couple of other things real quick. We have about 2 minutes. One New York City Democrat is expected to vote no, McMahon. And some labor leaders are threatening to back a primary challenge to him if he does vote no. Do you think Congressman McMahon would deserve to be ousted or seriously challenged in a primary for that vote?
Look, each and every member has to make the decision what's best for them and best for their constituents. I think that Congressman McMahon should vote yes on this bill. It provides health care for his constituents. It reduces the fiscal challenge facing the state and city of New York. It provides it ensures that if we're ever going to open up a badly needed hospital on Staten Island by HHC or anyone else, that it might actually happen. All that being said, only the residents of the 13th Congressional District are going to have a say in this, and he has to do what he thinks is best. I obviously have come to a different conclusion, but I want Congressman McMahon to stay in office, and one of the reasons I want him to stay in office is because I want him to advocate for the things we care about. I don't think a single vote should be the difference here.
So you would rule out supporting a Working Families Party-backed primary challenger to McMahon?
Yes, because that would lead us down the path to having a Republican there, which would be a huge setback.
Last question, completely different topic. Where are you on the Israel-U.S. firestorm of the last week? Did either Netanyahu or the Obama administration go too far?
I think the Obama administration's gone too far. Look, this was an unfortunate thing. Anyone who understands the politics in Israel knows that Bibi Netanyahu has trouble controlling the members of his own coalition. It's so troublesome. This deserved a head shake. It didn't deserve a tongue lashing like the Israelis have gotten.
What should they do now to back down from the whole thing?
Everyone has to essentially say this was a relatively minor flap. Both sides need to get back to the negotiating table, the Palestinians and the Israelis. That should be the focus right now.
Predict a yes vote by a certain date with a certain count?
A yes vote, I'm going to say on Saturday. I don't know what the count will be, and I predict Siena will go 2 rounds.
Congressman Anthony Weiner, watching March Madness in and out of Congress. Thank you very much for continuing to talk health care with. Maybe this will be the last time before you have a bill.
I hope so, but not because I don't like talking to you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a call-in for taxi cab drivers. Taxi drivers, you know we love you here at the Brian Lehrer Show, but how could you scam us like this? Call now, 212-433-WNYC. Cab drivers, pull over and call, 212-433-9692. You're getting killed in the tabloids. Call us and give us your version or apologize on behalf of your fellow cabbies, 212-433-9692. You know we love you, but how could you scam us like this?